I just happened to open up to Chapter 5, Canto 1.
Kurvanayatra karmani bhagavat shikshaya shakrit grinanti guna namani krishnasya nusmaranti cha.
While performing duties according to the order of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one constantly remembers his name. One constantly remembers him, his names, and his qualities. This is Narada's instructions to Vyasadeva about compiling Srimad Bhagavatam. Give the context in a minute. Purport: an expert devotee of the Lord can mold his life in such a way that while performing all kinds of duties, either for this or the next life, he can constantly remember the Lord's name, fame, qualities, etc. The order of the Lord is distinctly there in Bhagavad Gita. One should work only for the Lord in all spheres of life. In every sphere of life, the Lord should be situated as the proprietor. According to the Vedic rites, even in the worship of some demigods like Indra, Brahma, Saraswati, Ganesh, the system is that in all circumstances the representation of Vishnu must be there as Yajneshwara, or the controlling power of such sacrifices. It is recommended that a particular demigod be worshipped for a particular purpose, but still the presence of Vishnu is compulsory in order to make the function proper. You know how that works? And we often hear, we've been discussing it even, Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. The Karma Kanda section of the Vedas is where various rites and rituals and sacrificial ceremonies and yajnas, they're propitiating the various devatas. So what the priest does at the very beginning is he invokes the Yajneshwara, just like we have the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, the Bhokta of all Yajnas is Vishnu. And it's pronounced at the very beginning. Now after the beginning, they whatever space out, and it's this deva, that deva, and Ganesh, please remove the obstacles, and Swaha, but there's a predominating person. And it's for the ritualistic personalities, it's a ritualistic step that really doesn't, they don't connect with. They connect with what happens after that. This deva, that devi, Swaha, please Ganesh, help us get what we want. So Prabhupada's making a parallel or a comparison. Even in Vedic yajnas, where there's devas who are being propitiated, there's Yajneshwara, and so also when you go to your office, there's somebody that's the CEO, but Krishna's Yajneshwara. You're making some sacrifice, going to work. It's not a Vedic formal sacrifice, it's a sacrifice of types. And the consciousness can be who is the proprietor here? Are the shareholders the proprietor? All these issues of, you know, who owns the place. does that manager own the place? Is it single proprietorship? Is it a corporation? Is it a partnership? And all of those are misconceptions. The real conception is Krishna's in charge. And the devotee can go to that place where someone else, everybody else may be thinking, I'm in charge, or he's in charge, or they're in charge. The devotee understands who is in charge and who I'm working for. I'm working for the person who's in charge. I'm a servant, and Krishna is the master in all spheres of life. Apart from such Vedic duties, even in our ordinary dealings, for example, in our household affairs, or in our business or profession, we must consider that the result of all activities must be given over to the Supreme Enjoyer, Lord Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has declared Himself to be the Supreme Enjoyer of everything, the Supreme Proprietor of every planet, and the Supreme Friend of every living being. That's the same verse. Who knows the verse? The last verse of the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada calls that peace formula. He wrote one little essay as a young devotee in the district of millions of those things. The peace formula. This verse. You want to be peaceful when you go to work? Peaceful place, right? No one else but Lord Krishna can claim to be the proprietor of everything within His creation. A pure devotee remembers this constantly, and in so doing he repeats the transcendental name, fame, and qualities of the Lord, which means that he is constantly in touch with the Lord. The Lord is identical with His name, fame, etc., and therefore to be associated with His name, fame, etc., constantly means to associate with the Lord. Now comes the 50% rule. Next paragraph. The major portion of our monetary income, not less than 50%, must be spent to carry out the order of Lord Krishna. Ooh. Not only should we give the profit of our earning to this cause, but we must also arrange to preach this cult of devotion to others, because that is also one of the orders of the Lord. The Lord definitely says that no one is more dear to Him than one who is always engaged in the preaching work of the Lord's name and fame all over the world. The scientific discoveries of the material world can also be equally engaged in carrying out His order. He wants the message of Bhagavad Gita to be preached among His devotees. It may not be so done amongst those who have no credit for austerities, charity, education, etc. Therefore, the attempt must go on to convert unwilling men to become His devotees. Lord Chaitanya has taught a very simple method in this connection. He has taught the lesson for preaching the transcendental message through singing, dancing, and refreshment. As such, 50% of our income may be spent for this purpose in the fallen age of quarrel and dissension, if only the leading and wealthy persons of society agree to spend 50% of their income in the service of the Lord. As is taught by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is absolute certainty of converting this hell of pandemonium to the transcendental abode of the Lord. There you go. No one will disagree to partake in a function where good singing, dancing, and refreshment are administered. Of course, we find people that don't want to do that too. Everyone will attend such a function, and everyone is sure to feel individually the transcendental presence of the Lord. This alone will help the attendant associate with the Lord and thereby purify himself in spiritual realization The only condition for successfully executing such spiritual activities is one condition. They must be conducted under the guidance of a pure devotee who is completely free from all mundane desires, fruitive activities, and dry speculations about the nature of the Lord. Small condition, right? No one has to discover the nature of the Lord. It is already spoken by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita especially, and in all other Vedic literatures generally. We have simply to accept them in toto and abide by the orders of the Lord. That will guide us to the path of perfection. One can remain in his own position. No one has to change his position, especially in this age of variegated difficulties. The only condition is that one must give up the habit of dry speculation aimed at being one with the Lord. And after giving up such lofty, puffed-up vanities, one may very submissively receive the orders of the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam from the lips of a bona fide devotee whose qualification is mentioned above. That will make everything successful, without a doubt, end of purport. Kurvana yatra karmani bhagavach chikshaya shakat shakrit krinanti guna nam na namani Krishna jnanu smaranti cha. Krishna jnanu smaranti cha. Constantly remembering his names, his qualities, while performing duties according to the order of Sri Krishna. So submission. There's doing things mechanically, and then there's doing things consciously. And the consciousness is submission. Krishna's order is there. How do I know Krishna's order? Through the scripture, through the representatives of Krishna, I know Krishna's order. How to practically apply, this is where, so someone can read Benjamin Franklin wrote one little short saying, my friend and I read the Bible day and night, he reads black and I read white. So it's not just reading the scripture, but getting a clear understanding of it and the application of it through those that are representing. This specific succession, in other words, is a mandatory principle. And that the application requires then some accessible persons. We can go to our previous acharyas and collect little pearls of wisdom and very, very wonderful insights and instructions, but the practical application requires some persons who are guiding us. Just like I just wrote this in my Vyasa Puja homage to Prabhupada for this coming year, but what was Prabhupada's mood? You can kind of pick up his mood just by reading his purport. It's take shelter and preach the holy name. And but those that actually had his association or were trained in that period of time when things were so dynamic, just like this airline agent on the way here saying, oh, the Hare Krishna movement from the 1960s, I mean, people knew us from that period of dynamism when Prabhupada was surcharging the atmosphere. What was that like? You don't know just from reading it. I mean, you get some idea from reading Lilamrita. It's a very empowered literature. You get certainly some sense of connection with Prabhupada, but there's what's going to happen as the generations pass? There must be some, the principle of specific succession must go on. And in fact, it does go on. empowerment that the unique empowerment that Prabhupada exhibited is not going to be replicated. But the mood and the intensity, just like Prabhupada, for example, Prabhupada described when he once visited Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was in the middle of a conversation. Bhaktisiddhanta was such an intense person that he entered into the room and he waited and he was engaged in a conversation. Then he turned to Prabhupada and for 20 minutes he covered a philosophical point that just like filled the room with intensity. When he turned his attention to something else, it just was this powerful, intense personality. Just overwhelmingly intense. Or in his room in Navadvip in Mayapur. Now it's Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, but there's a room, a house, it was like his headquarters, and there's a little veranda. Not so long. It takes about, you take 10 paces to go back and forth. And for a half hour to 40 minutes each day, he'd pace up back and forth like a charging horse, you know, just giving philosophical counter arguments and smashing the counter arguments. Just an intense personality. Very, very, very powerful person. Just to be in his presence was awesome. And, anyway, so these descriptions you can hear, but it's not the same as being in the presence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Or being in the presence of Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that I am 90% more lenient than my Guru Maharaj. So Prabhupada certainly had just to if any one of us, if we're in the presence of a very, very, very pious person, you can feel that piety just in their aura or their presence. But to feel the presence of Prabhupada was just like getting an elevator and going to the top floor like that. Just so powerful and so compassionate. I've sat at, I want to get back to the Bhagavatam verse, but I've sat in these sessions where devotees tell their Prabhupada stories, and there's this flavor that comes through 80 to 90% of them that says again and again, just by coming in Prabhupada's presence, all cares, all anxieties, all doubts, everything was just dissipated. None of those, all darkness was gone. Just coming into his presence, so I felt that Prabhupada looked right through me and into all of my, just by his look glancing over me, all of my desires were gone, and all of my, just again and again, hearing that report. The presence of pure devotion, a person embodying that pure devotion, it's not to be replicated by any other, certainly not by mental speculation or relative activity. But Prabhupada is giving us these directives, and then how to practically do all this. Certainly the how-to is just you take the inspiration and with the heart open to receiving that message, and it just carries you. And then you continue to apply yourself according to those nice instructions, just as what's happening with Vyas. Vyas didn't have any deficiency in knowledge. He's the empowered literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's nothing like, no minus, no shortcoming. But still, in the presence of Narada, Narada's words carried conveyed the understanding that the direct glorification of the personality of Godhead, composing such a literature that brings that alone, without the consideration of the material desires of so many people, and so you make arrangements through Vedic formularies how those desires can be fulfilled and gradually progress to the modes of nature, to a higher position where you're regulated under the codes of the Vedas. That's good, but it's not the transcendental message of Narada Vyas. Just I'll read the previous verse, 7:15. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga, or transcendental loving service to the Lord, and what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. So the message here is the knowledge that you've given must be preceded by bhakti. Pure bhakti means pure bhakti. Pure bhakti means without motivation, without interruption. Without motivation means what will come to me. So without motivation means it's just out of love. It's for you. It's for the personality of Godhead. And without interruption, no breaks, no siestas, no now I need the mentality of a fruitive worker. I've worked for 5 days, I need 2 days off, or whatever it is. I work for so many days, I need a little vacation. No vacation. Devotional service doesn't include that. It's uninterrupted, constant activity. And if there's an obstacle on the path of devotional service, we address that obstacle by just rising above it or removing the obstacle and continuing the uninterrupted flow of devotional service. Unimpeded by anything material and not started by anything material. You can't start it or stop it with anything material. It's on the spiritual platform, that's pure devotional service. When to come to that platform, that requires getting some support, some lifting, being lifted up out of the material perception and the material experience of trying to be the enjoyers of matter, instead trying to function in our natural position of serving Krishna. Whenever that is done, whatever work we do here in this life, it's meant for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord. That's bhakti yoga. The workplace can be bhakti yoga, not just karma yoga. When you work, you don't really know why you're there, and then you're giving some fruits to Krishna. Bhakti yoga is this other principle. Krishna is the proprietor, and I'm serving him. And that carry that consciousness. Try to cultivate that consciousness. Try to cultivate that consciousness following the indications that we find in Scripture under proper guidance. That's devotional service. Our teaching is not a secular teaching. There's the part that we do for Krishna, and there's the part that we do for our worldly life, and we make a big separation between the two. That's secular religion. We don't do that. Bhagavad Gita is not that. Bhagavatam, very clearly in these verses, it's not secularism. We're doing devotional service when we're chanting japa, having arti, and reading Bhagavatam, and then we walk out the door, and then it's something else until we get together tonight. That's not the message. The opposite is the message. So how do we address our consciousness to the situation? What about the fruits? What vibrations are in it and coming from our mouth? What thoughts are in our mind? What's in our heart? That constitutes bhakti. When those components are properly cultivated, that's also devotional service, all in the same category. And Narada is instructing Vyas to compose such a literature. That's what this Bhagavatam is. Very, very wonderful. Most wonderful. Okay, so any.
So we heard 50% income.
50%.
Is that in Srila Prabhupada's purport or is he was.
As I read Prabhupada's purport, he said it three times.
No, I mean, or is it given? Is there some kind of verse somewhere?
No. Where it comes from is the example of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. On the strength of the example of Rupa and Sanatana, Prabhupada spoke like that. So the next question is, how to do that?
Yeah.
How to do that? So, this can be a long discussion, I won't make it a long discussion. Dayananda Prabhu, the Prabhupada disciple, was trained by Prabhupada under this principle, and he insists that it should be maintained. And I don't know if he's maintaining it, but he insists that that was very clearly and explicitly instruction that Prabhupada maintained. There's no doubt about it. In lectures, in books, and in personal instruction. Now, practically speaking, we don't have in ISKCON, we don't have a tithing standard, as in many religions they do. Like, you want to be a good Mormon, you want to be a Mormon in good standing, there's some percentage, I'm not sure, I think it's 10%.
Swaminarayan also 10%.
10%.
And for rich people it is whatever gurus ask.
So we don't have Prabhupada's thing. There's 50%, but we, you know, how with taxes and costs of things and so on and so on and so on, one can certainly make a very reasonable argument. It's not a practical formula. So this is where we're not about to make a tithing thing that's going to be different than what Prabhupada said. So it's not likely to be something that we'll see in our lifetime. Although, who knows, maybe. But you can't just like whitewash it, just like take a brush and just go whoosh. It just disappears. But it's a standard, and one should strive for making some kind of commitment, those who are earning money, to see that this standard is up there and what seemed to be realistic for me is over here, and so let me maintain this standard and not go backward from that standard. Something like that. I don't know if any householder. There may be some, but I don't know of any householder that's maintaining that 50% standard. I don't know one. But, you know. Yeah. So, it's a very high standard. The principle is essential. The principle that Krishna is the proprietor. So 100% of what we earn, it belongs to Krishna. And then making expenditures according to what is appropriate for Krishna's service. Immediately it eliminates frivolous stuff. And you know, certainly forbidden stuff too. But in each act, you know, one could argue in service to Krishna includes taking care of your family members. That's going to be argued. It's not separate, it's for Krishna. But then there's directly for the mission, the temple, and directly the worship of the deity, and you know, one could, you know, in your budget, your income, something minimally must go to the mandir. But you know, our grihastha, many of our grihasthas, those grihasthas who are properly following, it's 100%. It's because what's behind that is consciousness. Like the argument or the preaching, make your home a temple. and what makes it, as Prabhupada would speak, what makes this temple different than any other house in the neighborhood. We call it a temple instead of a house. Why? Because Krishna is at the center. The Krishna worship is there and so on. Everything is done for Krishna. So it's a temple, not a home. To make one's home a temple, in real sense of the term, we live for the worship of the deities and serve the deity and preach the glories of the Supreme Lord, just as a brahmachari in the temple does, as a grahastha. We do that in our home and within our sangha of friends. And your home is a temple. And it's 100%. That kind of argument or consideration can be given. Yeah.
I'm not trying to raise one question. Devotional service would entail or should not be motivated by self-interest at all, right?
That's pure devotional service.
So when we attempt to perform devotional service, the final goal seems to be, or at least this is what we're doing in the preliminary stage, or actually for myself here maybe. But it's like, okay, this, we're doing the service for eventually to be the Supreme Personality, to be the Krishna, to return to Godhead. And not necessarily just doing the service for serving Krishna, but, you know, whatever the questions might be, or maybe it doesn't even return to Godhead, but I'm doing it because, you know, I'm just serving Krishna through it. If you're doing with the consciousness that you want to go back to Godhead, is that self-interest?
That's our real self-interest, as opposed to a material self-interest. I understand your question, and a very short answer because our time is running out. Is in the stage of devotional service that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks, that also disappears. In our stage, Prabhupada indicates that's good. In short. So, to a degree, it is our proper self-interest to want to be with Krishna. But a higher understanding is you can be with Krishna anywhere. And if Krishna so desires, Krishna can place me here, Krishna can place me there. But the natural desire of devotion is to want to be with the Lord. The gopis want to be with Krishna. A very nice discussion in Brihad Bhagavatamrita where Hanuman, the unflinching servitor of Lord Ram, is feeling terribly pained by the separation of Ram. When Rama returns to Ayodhya, he takes all his thousands of devotees with him and leaves him here. He wants to go with Ram. But he also understands that Ram gave him some service to do here, and so he's accepting that service, but he wants to be with Ram. So if Hanuman can feel like that, and the gopis can feel like that, we can feel like that. But our feeling like that, it is certainly tinged with a degree of, I want out of here, as opposed to, I want to be in the direct relationship with the Lord serving Him. There's a very large quantum of, I want out of here, this place is crazy. That's really enough. So that's that. In that sense, from our stage, that's good. Detachment, although it's not on the detachment that comes from yukta vairagya, it's the heart. What is it called? It's learned in the school of hard knocks. That this is not a nice place. I want to be with Krishna. to be encouraged, with the understanding that in course of time that will also do. Krishna, whatever you like. I just want to be in the consciousness of your intimate service. That's awaiting us later. It's premature or artificial for us to think like that now. We can, with our mouths hanging open, think of those just in awe. Consider those that have that desire. Whatever you want. Chaitanya, whatever you want.
Sure, question.
Lord Krishna says that
one who preaches about my glories, he's the one who is dear to me.
Yeah.
But if you see in the reality, like most of the people are not directly preaching about the Lord, but indirectly they'll be helping in many other things.
That's okay, like, that counts.
That counts, right.
Their consciousness should be, this is for that purpose. Engage, that's exactly the language here, also in the mission of the Lord. So the person that's in the front lines requires the support of so many other people. Like the military. Like anything. The athlete. There's so many people that are behind that person. And so... when it's, say, Rath Yatra, so much planning, so much execution, and then there's the person who's on the, at the microphone on the stage. But there's all of that is, that's the service to Lord Jagannath in this vision of the glorious experience of the mercy of Lord Jagannath to multitudes of people. So the consciousness of the person who's cutting the vegetable, the person who's purchasing and renting and driving, and it's all. Prabhupada spoke the same about Sankirtan. Now, the Sankirtan means, you know, congregational chanting or book distribution. But then he would explain that each of the activities that's connected to that is also Sankirtan. You know, the typing of the typist that's inscribing. Transcribing the book, or the Prabhupada's lecture, that's, or the, you know, the hammering, a group of people was telling me this when they were building the Krishna Balaram Mandir. They had something like 300 people working 24 hours a day for 6 months, and then while Prabhupada was giving his class, they were hammering away. And they asked Prabhupada, should we have them stop while they're giving the class? And Prabhupada said, that is also Sankirtan. Now, they may not have been in that consciousness, but Prabhupada was. Because it was the glorification of Krishna Balaram to bring people to. So just like, you know, coming up is the, you're going to be raising funds for the mandir and doing some of the other things related to that. So is that in the kirtan department? Depends on the consciousness, but certainly Prabhupada saw it like that. But it's part of what's going to bring people together for a kirtan. And so when it's thinking like that, then the holy name, the thought of the holy name or the chanting of the holy name will be there. And it will come from the heart of the person who is engaging the person to hammer the thing or give the contribution or stir the cement or whatever it is. That consciousness is there. Assembly, one could be in the front line doing the thing and be thinking not pure thoughts. So much attention is coming to me at last, people are recognizing it. What improving qualified person really am.
what makes us to judge where we should stand? Because everything is in service of the Lord. So what makes us to see like, okay, one is good at one thing, should he be doing that? Or when an opportunity comes, should he be doing other things?
That's why we need direction, isn't it? I mean, we can get our sense, but we're also submissive. We try to examine what propensities are that Krishna has given us. We also try to examine the situation that Krishna has placed before us. Our intelligence doesn't go to sleep. We're at analyzing things. But ultimately, we're submissive to higher authority. And if that component is missing, it's all sham. It's all material energy. So we're eager to seek. We're not. It's not that we're unable to take the left step after the right step because somebody has to tell us now you take the left step. We continue, but we're submissive to the indications. We value surrounding ourselves by spiritually qualified persons who give their blessings. And that means if there's an indication, well, can you adjust? And that's, I think, let's discuss, maybe you should go this way instead of that way. And so, we're ready. Because the mood is humble service. And we have this descending system that gives spiritual strength to anything that is done, or in the absence of it, it's the material energy. So I want to be in that spiritual strength position, protected by it, and empowered by it, an instrument of it, as the humble servant. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, please.